Good morning. Today, we will read the Bible, and we'll learn from the Bible. Then we have a communion. We want to learn from Daniel. If you have the Bible, please open the Bible, the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 10, verses 20. Daniel chapter 10, verse 20 through chapter 11, verse 1. Now let me read. So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." If you just look at this passage, it doesn't make much sense, does it, on the surface? I've been thinking about these three verses during the past week, and this one word came up to me, the word that is related to today's topic, which is repeatedly. The angel Gabriel who appeared to Daniel was basically saying that he will repeatedly come and fight for him, and he will repeatedly give Daniel a message from God. And repeatedly, the angel Gabriel will encourage Daniel. That's how I thought this passage meant. So as we studied this book of Daniel, you know, Daniel has been praying. You know, he went back to Jerusalem, and the Israelites went back to Jerusalem for the first time in 70 years, and they were having a difficult time in Jerusalem. And then the angel Gabriel appeared, and the Gabriel was trying to fight against the evil spirits. So the prince of the Persia and the Samaritans were fighting against Jerusalem, and they are, in a sense, controlled by Satan. And then, but the Gabriel was saying that eventually they'll prevail against the Persia, and then the temple will be built in Jerusalem. And in fact, in 16 years, the Israelites built the temple, as we saw in the book of Ezra. But this is not the end of this story. If you look at chapter 10, today's passage, chapter 10, verse 20, it says, "So he said, 'Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, and the prince of Greece will come.'" So the Gabriel is fighting against the prince of Persia, and he will prevail against it, and then the prince of Greece will appear. So, in a sense, he's saying evil spirits who control the leaders of Greece will do bad things. So, in the Persian period, there was this the prince of Persia, and in the Greece period, there will be a prince of Greece will be working behind the scene. These are bad spirits or evil spirits. There is a book titled Screwtape Letters, written by C.S. Lewis. And this is these are letters that are written by an evil boss to an evil underling. And in one of the there is a passage in the book which says, "It is not enough to make human beings believe that there is no God. We also have to make them believe that there are no evil spirits, so there is no Satan." That's one of one advice from an evil boss to an evil underling. Isn't that interesting? So not only God, but also the presence of the existence of Satan is not there. That's what they are trying to teach. So Daniel, in a sense, is denying this kind of claim. In the history of human beings, when all the bad things happened, Satan is behind and controlling things. And also, there are different evil spirits having different roles. Until the coming of Jesus Christ again on this earth, until the new heaven and new earth appeared, the evil spirits will use different names, different shapes, and then they will appear in human history. So the New Testament also says the false prophets will appear. And then false prophets, using many devices, will perform some miracles even, and then confuse many people, including Christians. And this kind of things will happen until the end of this time. That's what Jesus taught us. And now the Gabriel is the angel Gabriel is saying the same thing. Even the Persian kingdom disappears, then the new empire, Greece empire, will appear, and they will use all kinds of things like the country and people and ideologies and bad spirits will do bad things and confuse people. And even the Christians will be confused and lost. But the angels will continue to fight against them. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 10 verses 21. It says, "But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." So it's not just Angel Gabriel, but also Angel Michael will also work together. So they are the ones fighting against various evil spirits. So that's why, don't worry, Daniel. That's what the passage is saying. So Gabriel is basically saying he's going to repeatedly come and repeatedly gives and repeatedly encourages Daniel. And Gabriel appeared to Daniel at least three times, up to chapter 10. So Daniel saw Gabriel at least three times. And every time Gabriel appears before Daniel, Gabriel encourages Daniel with God's word and interpretation. And Gabriel also fought against other people who were giving difficult times to Daniel and people of Israel. So Gabriel saying repeatedly he'll fight and repeatedly he'll encourage Daniel and the people. I would like to call this repeated blessings. Repeated blessings. And the Bible is full of these repeated blessings. It doesn't matter how many times you betray, how many times you hurt other people. It doesn't matter how many times you betray God. Even if it doesn't matter how many times you pretend not to know Jesus, but He always forgives you repeatedly, and He repeatedly comforts you, and He repeatedly embraces you. So that's what the Bible is about. That's the history of human beings. That's the history of Christianity, and that's the history of each Christian. Because we have these repeated blessings or repeated grace, we are able to be here and offer this worship service to God. We often think we exist just because we have this power that we control, but we exist because we have these repeated blessings or repeated grace that is given to us from God. So the Bible is consistent in that we need to be aware of these repeated blessings and grace. And there, of course, people who refuse to pay attention to God's word, and they are cruel, they are merciless, they're cold, they commit murder, they engage in discrimination, and that's why there are many bad things that happen and that they are written in the Bible. It's not because the God is that way. It is because we are that way. Whoever has read the Bible will probably think why there are so many records of cruelty and corrupt things that happened. But the things that are written in the Bible is actually, it's not about, not solely about other things. It actually applies to us, to each of us. We, each of us, can be very cruel, merciless, cold, crafty, and we engage in discriminate, we have murderous thoughts, so we do bad things, and we have sins within us. But God repeatedly forgives us, repeatedly patient. God repeatedly gives us opportunities, and God repeatedly gives us grace. And then God gave Jesus Christ as sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And there are many people in the Bible who receive these repeated blessings and grace. And the one person that stands out in the Bible is Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Peter once confessed, "You are Christ, the Son of God." But immediately after Peter said that, he said to Jesus, who said he may get crucified soon. And then Jesus Christ rebuked him by saying, "Out of my sight, Satan, you do not have in mind the things of God, but things of men." But even if that happened, Peter was forgiven, Peter was loved, and Peter continued to be his disciple until the end of his life. And of course, there are one famous incident that happened to Peter that we, in fact, he repeatedly denied Jesus Christ three times. If you look at chapter 26, verses 67 through 75, Matthew chapter 26, verses 67 through 75. Matthew chapter 26, verses 67 through 75. "Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, 'Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?' Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.' After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly. They spit in his face and struck him with their fists, and others slapped Jesus. And Peter said, 'I don't know Jesus,' three times." And then he realized it was him, Peter himself, in a sense, indirectly spit on his face, struck him with his fists. In spite of the fact he's confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he lived with Jesus for 3 years. He betrayed Jesus. And he left Jesus alone. He was, in a sense, Peter was cruel, merciless, cold, crafty, and selfish. And he wept bitterly. The weeping of Peter, that is also not just Peter's weeping. It's actually, it applies to us too. And when Jesus was resurrected, he said to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" That's what Jesus said to Peter three times. Jesus was not accusing Peter or rebuking him. But I think Jesus was trying to encourage him. "I understand what you're going through. I love you. So don't worry." Jesus was trying to comfort him. And every time that Jesus Christ said, "Do you love me?" there's another one that Jesus said. He said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." That's what Jesus said at the time. He wanted to trust Peter to take care of the people. Jesus blessed Peter, even if Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him. But he did not rebuke him afterwards. Jesus wanted to encourage Peter. And he knew Peter was going to betray him. And even with that, Jesus loved Peter and forgave Peter. That's why Jesus gave Peter such a warm response to Peter. And Peter realized that he received the repeated blessings, repeated grace. And that's what we receive as well. And that's what we will experience. We have experienced and we will continue to experience the repeated blessings. And this is what God's love is about. At one time, Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? He answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Maybe Peter was saying at that time, "I will forgive a sinner 7 times. So please, you know." So he was proud of himself that he was willing to say, "I'm going to," you know, he wanted to, he. And he knew that Peter was kind of shallow at that time, but still Peter forgave Jesus. Jesus forgave Peter. And his forgiving is never ending. There is no limit to the forgiving of Jesus by Jesus Christ. And I told you earlier that unless we have these repeated blessings of grace, we cannot be here in this worship hall. And this applies to myself as well. When I have my family that I live with, and we have sometimes arguments, we have a little fights, and we rebuke our children sometimes, and sometimes children do not respect their parents. Sometimes children betray their parents, and parents betray their children. And of course, that applies again to myself as well. And my family members forgave me many, many times, embraced me many times, and we had meal together many times, and they forgave me and laughed with me many times, and became my friends again, and shared my pain with them. So that's how we live. And now when you look at the Bible, and the stories of families appear, in the Bible as well. The Bible talks about the church in comparison to husband and wife. And the Bible talks about the relationship between the Father and Son, the God and Jesus, to the relationship between Father and Son. And there is a parable of the prodigal son. And the Bible teaches us we need to engage in repeated blessings and forgiving with our neighbors, including our family members. Now, coming back to Daniel. So the fight between the angels and evil spirits is related to our daily lives as well, because this is related to the repeated blessings. So the fight between the angels and evil spirits has to do with the fact that we have repeated blessings. This is a spiritual fight. We benefit from repeated blessings, and we are supposed to engage in repeated blessing with other people. From the beginning of the creation of this world, God has been consistently engaged in repeated blessings for us. And the biggest blessing of all for us is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us. In spite of the fact he is God, he died for us. Although human beings betrayed God repeatedly, he died for us as a sacrifice. So, through Jesus Christ, our relationship with God was restored. And to remember these blessings, Jesus Christ established the communion. And we will have communion in a minute. So the communion is about time to remember the repeated blessings we have received, repeated grace we have received, until the day when Jesus comes back again. We will continue this ceremony, the communion, which is about love. So we need to be thankful that we can have the communion again today. And this is also a result of the repeated blessings, that we can have the communion. So let us remember that the God in Trinity through the communion. Our Father, you forgave us many, many times. You led us many, many times. You encouraged us many, many times. You gave us what we needed many, many times. And you are such a forgiving person. That's what we learned today. Father, we can live because of the repeated blessings and grace. And we would like to share those repeated blessings and grace with other people. And we want to respond to your request, and we want to listen to you through the communion. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God in the Bible. We are thankful, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to have a communion established by Jesus Christ. He had the last supper with his disciples. And at that time he said to his disciples, "This is his body and his blood." That's how he talked. And he told us to continue this ritual. And when we have a communion, God is with us, of course. And also, we, as a Christian, are one. It's six. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." If you have been baptized, you are welcome to participate in the communion. Even if you have been baptized in a different church, if you have the same faith, you are welcome to participate in it. But if you have not been baptized, please refrain from participating in the baptism. I mean, in the communion. But the reason we want you to refrain from the participation is not because we want to exclude you, but I want you to be aware of the visible sign that you are invited to accept Christ.